Our reading for this morning is taken from what is often called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It is from John 17, beginning with verse 14. And our Lord prays, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." In Norway, in the 1930s, there was a man by the name of Vidkun Quisling, the son of a Lutheran pastor, who rose to be the Minister of Defense in that country. And it was about the time that the Nazis were in power in Germany. And he collaborated with the Nazis to help them come and ultimately take over Norway to invade the country. And when the war finally came to an end, he was put on trial for high treason and was executed by firing squad. His last words, right before they pulled the triggers, was this. "In 10 years' time," he said, "I will have become another St. Olav, one of the great heroes of the country." Well, that never happened, and to this day, his name is still dirt. In fact, if you, not just in Norway, but if you look in a dictionary, the word Quisling means to be a traitor. We're used to the concept of being a traitor when we think of Judas. The name Judas to us as Christians means a backstabber, somebody who's a turncoat on you. As believers in Christ, we need to understand something about how the world looks at us. We are Quislings and Judases to the world. When we love Christ and follow him, we have now become backstabbers and turncoats and traitors to the world in which we were born. That's how the world views us because we belong to Christ. We have been made members of Christ's kingdom through faith in him by his word. That's what our Lord Jesus says today in his prayer. "I have given them your word," he says to God the Father. And it's that very word of God that has caused you, it's gone down into your heart and conscience, caused you to see your sin and your guilt before God, like I have as well, but has brought you to the cross to see the wonderful forgiveness your Savior offers there, paying for every sin you've ever committed with his blood, so that you could now come to heaven. And it's that very word of God, the gospel itself, that has grabbed you and made you a citizen of heaven, has claimed you as someone who now belongs to Christ. But because of that, you are now a turncoat to the world. You are now a traitor to this wicked, evil world in which we live. In fact, the Bible refers to us now, because we are citizens of heaven, as aliens here. We are foreigners, we are strangers. We're from another planet as far as how the world looks at us. Loving Christ, loving his word, appreciating him and everything that he has done for us, now puts us at odds with the general world in which we live and the attitudes of this world in which we live. And we can't live in both, in a sense. The book of James says this, "The friendship of the world is enmity with God." It's an interesting passage. Friendship with this wicked, unbelieving world is enmity with God. That means you're an enemy of God if you live that way. Jesus says to those who aspire to be followers of him and believe in him, he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So what this means is this. Because God, by his word, has claimed you as his child, forgiven you of your sins, and given you the hope of heaven through faith in Christ, because of that, you are now living at odds with the world, and you should expect some kind of persecution from the world in which you live. If you take your heavenly citizenship seriously, if it matters to you and you care about it, it's going to put you at odds with this wicked, unbelieving world. There's a cost. There's a cost to each of us then who live with Christ when it comes to how we have to live in this world. Now, there are many people today who want Christianity to be a religion that doesn't have a cost for us, that kind of blends back into the world, to be able to bear the label of Christian and the name of Christ, but at the same time, approve of everything the world would think is right and good, which is contrary to God's word. They want to keep that label without the cost of actually having to follow Christ and his word. If there are two countries who are at war with each other, you cannot actually be working for both. You can't have both. Either you belong to heaven or you belong to this putrid, stinking, rotten, dying earth. What is it? What's it going to be? That's really what it comes down to. Are you a citizen of heaven or are you a citizen of this stinking, rotting earth? Where do you belong? On which side are you going to stand? And if you stand with heaven, there's a cost. You're going to have to pay something in this life. It's going to mean something. It's going to matter. Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "Cheap grace means the justification of sin." Cheap grace. If you cheapen God's grace, it means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. In other words, you're actually losing what real grace is. To be a faithful believer and follower of Christ, that is a very difficult label to bear in this world. And it grows more and more intensely difficult for each generation. I thought it was tough for my generation and my parents. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for my kids and my grandchildren. It is going to be difficult. It is going to be very difficult. Let's not kid ourselves. The world is growing more anti-Christ, anti his word, and anti anything that has to do with heaven. We need to face that reality. But there is a reason and a purpose for why Christ has grabbed you by his word, made you his child, and is letting you still live here in this stinking, rotting world. There's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. In fact, Jesus prayed about it that night in the garden to his Father. He says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." Where he has put you and where you are in your life and the gifts that he has given you, the relationships that you have, are all calculated by the Son of God. There's a reason why he has you where you are in life. And even the persecutions you are going to have to face in your life, whatever they may be, there's a reason for those. The world, the stinking, dying world, needs Christians. Without us, there's no hope of heaven for anyone. In fact, the reason that God leaves Christians in this world is to make sure that the elect can finally all be gathered together. When that last one is done, it's over. That's when God brings an end to the world. And he has also put you here in this world to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're going to need it. Your generation is really going to need each other supporting each other and helping and confessing Christ together and standing together. So facing these challenges, where can we run to find sanctuary? Jesus says, "Sanctify them by the truth," as he prays to the Father. Your word is truth. It's the word of God that has not only made you God's child, but it's where you can always find sanctuary from this wicked, unbelieving world. It's the word of God alone that shields you from all the assaults of the devil, the world, and your own sinful heart. And it's the only place where, through Christ, you are holy and righteous before God and worthy of heaven. We need to understand something as Christians, as followers of Christ. We are not here in this world to win a popularity contest, but we are here to carry out the Lord's will and to remain true to him and his protecting word. But notice how boldly your Savior speaks about you belonging in heaven. He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." That's a great line. That means that from Jesus' perspective, you are just as much a part of this forsaken world as Christ is. You are just as much a part of this dying land as the living Christ is himself. And so, yes, the cost to you to follow this Savior may be high, but the eternal payoff is well worth it. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to comfort us by your Holy Spirit in all temptations and afflictions, so that we will not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in your Son's promise that our trials will endure for just a little while and will then be followed by eternal joy. We ask this all in his name. Amen.